Everyone, please stand. We will sing in 5 minutes. To you, all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and
with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace may always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
A reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and in high favor with the master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. Now the Armenians, on one of their raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." Then Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes. He sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with the horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." Naaman became very angry and went away, saying, "I thought that for me he would surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. Are not Arnon and Pharphar the rivers of Damascus? Better than all the waters of Israel, could I not wash in them and be clean?" He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you not have done it? How much more when all he said to you was, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and immersed himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored, like the flesh of a young boy, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company. He came and stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except Israel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will read Psalm 111 by half verse. Hallelujah, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart.
In the assembly of the upright and with the congregation.
Great are the deeds of the Lord.
They are studied by all who delight in them.
His work is full of majesty and splendor.
And his righteousness endures forever.
He makes his marvelous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and full of
He gives food to those who fear him.
He is ever mindful of his covenant.
He has shown his people the power of his works.
In giving them the land of the nations.
Works of his hands are faithfulness and justice.
All his commandments are sure.
They stand fast forever and ever.
Because they are done in truth and equity.
He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is his name.
Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Those who act accordingly have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
The second reading is from the second letter to Timothy. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David, that is my gospel, which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. The word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remember them of this, and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Have to answer. Did you notice anything amiss in today's first reading?
I'll bet some of you did. After that opening line in which Naaman is identified as a military genius and a leper, the king of Aram wants the king of Israel to heal him, right? Then all of a sudden, the king of Israel is reading the letter. There it is. I read it over so many, what letter? Well, there's been no mention of a letter because of the three verses the lectionary omits. Frankly, if I'd noticed it before we printed the bulletin, I would have included half of those verses, four and half of five. Well, here's how it would read with that inclusion. If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. So Naaman went in and told his Lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, go then, and I will send along a letter to the king of Israel. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and so on. Boom. Problem solved. That's the letter explained. But they didn't ask me. Okay, back to grace. After that back and forth exchange that's in that first reading between Elisha and the king, Naaman becomes upset because the prescription for his cure is so simple. He wanted more drama, more complexity, more effort on Elisha's part and his own. We might imagine his thoughts. Kind of penny-ante healing is this? I've traveled this far. I was prepared to walk on hot coals, eat spiders or worse, and come on. Couldn't the prophet at least have come out of his house himself? Shouldn't he have parted the heavens and summoned the all-powerful God to come down and cure me? But wash and I'll be clean? Please. His servants were the ones who finally said, in effect, sir, mighty warrior, what could it hurt? I mean, we're already here, so why not give it a shot? And it works. The means for his healing had been there all along. He just had to perform the rudimentary, simple task of washing as a way of acknowledging that. Now that's amazing grace, whether Naaman likes it or not. Of course, and I believe it's, if not the, a major point of the story, he afterward becomes the proclaimer of the great good news. Here's my point about Naaman. He really does not want the grace of miraculous healing to be free. Not really. He wants a big effort on Elisha's part, on God's part, and even, maybe especially, on his own part. He's angry, incensed, and I'd forgotten the word rage is in there too, that Elisha doesn't make a big enough deal of this, sending a messenger instead of getting off his backside and going directly to Naaman himself. Well, we'll leave him for the time being. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul writes that he suffers hardships, even being chained like a criminal. The kind of stuff Naaman would admire. Being a man of action, stoic and tough. But listen again to Paul's next sentence, the one right after that. But the word of God is not chained. That line brings back to me so many experiences over my lifetime. Experiences in which I'm struggling to do the right thing, or at least to get by with something, to accomplish this or that goal. Those goals have changed significantly over the years, from making it through A&M and the Army, trying to be a decent officer and gentleman, to overcoming a struggle with alcoholism, to today's challenges, which are more along the lines of, did I offend somebody with that remark? And can I successfully drive a car and send an email? In every one of them, past and present, from the simplest to the most complex, It has been God's grace that did for me what I could not do by myself alone. That last phrase is read in many, many 12-step meetings these days, taken directly from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It's part of the passage known as the Promises, a couple of paragraphs, ending with, we will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. To counter any thoughts that this might be hubris, this process of handling situations intuitively takes place over a lifetime, with many fits and starts. The essence of this promise is God's grace, which is greater than any one of us, greater even than all of us put together. And it is not restricted to those in recovery from addiction. It is the grace that cannot be chained. Now the gospel, those 10 lepers. I invite you to substitute the malady or disease of your choice for leprosy. Boils or pleurisy or broken leg or anything. We don't really know what the Bible means precisely by leprosy anyway. Just fill in as you would like. This isn't a lesson in biology or the medical arts. It's about, you got it, grace and a response to grace. Jesus does tell the 10 to fulfill the ritual requirements of the faith. Maybe to show those who were watching, and particularly for the benefit of the Pharisees, that he is a believing, practicing Jew, a man of faith. But the healing happens while the 10 were on their way to the priest. Sheer grace, not dependent on fulfilling the requirements of religion, not dependent on their social or religious standing. And Jesus makes that last point explicit by saying, and look who came back to thank me, to thank God. This Samaritan, this foreigner, again, feel free to substitute, this Democrat, this Republican, this drug dealer, this communist, or this fascist, if it helps to understand the radical nature of what Jesus is saying here when he acknowledges the Samaritan as a person of faith. He's saying, I believe, that none of these categories could matter less to God, because we're all God's children. And God's grace is present for all of us. The way for us to acknowledge that is to be grateful, to live lives of gratitude and thanksgiving, to understand that our very lives are gifts from God. And accepting that fact prompts us to express gratitude in acts of kindness to others. And that's why, if I were asked, I would alter our collect to say, Lord, we thank you that your grace always precedes and follows us. And we pray that we may continually be given to good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
God from God, light from light, true God from true.
begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. We pray for all who have died, especially Winifred Roden. We pray in thanksgiving with Hayden Hudson, Shelby Ford, Ray Hawkins, Jane Shiver, who celebrate their birthdays this week.
And now I invite your prayers or thanksgivings, aloud or silently. We pray in thanksgiving to Diane Williams' years with us as faithful and competent and friendly parish secretary and office manager. Almighty God, I have Heavenly Father, guide the nations of the world into the way of justice and truth, and establish among them that peace which is the fruit of righteousness, that they may become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Would you please be seated? I have a couple of things to do here. First, I want to read you a letter from Cynthia Horn. Some of you, it's a decreasing number all the time, but some of you may remember Cynthia. She explains herself pretty well. Greetings. My youngest daughter has moved me with them, Ruth and Don Moore, to LeConte, Louisiana, south of Alexandria. And at my age, 99, I need more personal care, etc. So, I am a transplanted Texas gal. Give my love to all at Epiphany. My address is, and she lists it here, sorry about the writing, which is probably better than mine. And then she gives you her telephone number. I love you. Pray for us. Here I sit in my recliner, but I wouldn't trade it for anything finer. It helps me unwind. It fits my behind, and it's also my favorite diner. And there is a self-portrait there also. So I'm going to put it down here. Don't leave off with it, but if you want to look at it, and then I'll make copies for anybody who wants it. All right, that was just sort of a wind-up to this. I want to ask Diane Williams to come forward, if you will, please. You're the good one. I'm with you, Diane. Just come over here. That's great.
No, we
haven't.
Go this way.
No, we recalibrated. Careful of that microphone. That's Otis' baby. All right. Wow, that really, all of a sudden, I couldn't have done these years. Diane is senior to me here at Epiphany. She came a couple of months before I did. And I could not have done my part in any way, shape, form, or fashion without Diane's having done her part above and beyond the call of duty always. We're so grateful to you, Diane, for that. I thought of all of these that you've made out, I'll read it to you. She said, get one. Here we go. That's great. Clergy Warden and Vestry of the Episcopal Church of the Epiphany, Burnet, Texas, certified all that Diane Williams served as parish secretary, office manager, advertising expert, assistant to the treasurer. The list is endless from 2013 to 2022. And hereby acknowledge their gratitude for her dedicated and faithful service. I'd put patient in there, my first version of that, and we'll know that that belongs. We're so grateful to you, Diane.
I'm so grateful to all of you all.
We love you all. And this is just a ridiculous thing.
Thank you so much. I'm not good with words, as we all know. But I have been so blessed to have been a part of what I call part of my family here. I love each and every one of you. I'm going to miss you terribly, but you can't get rid of me yet. We know.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful that God brought me to Epiphany and to all of you and to the ones that were here when I first got here and that have gone on to other places. So you are always in my heart.
Yeah, she said you can't get rid of me. What that means is we're getting her wired for sound and IT, everything, so that as we continue for, and listen to this word carefully, a successor to Diane, not a replacement, she can't be replaced, a successor to Diane, she's going to work from Rockport, hooked into her computer here. IT is wonderful sometimes. Ain't it? We know that it's not all the time, but we're really grateful to you for your willingness to do that. As long as we're doing this announcements here, I'll ask if you have, just be sure to come to the parish hall for lunch following this. Please come, all of you. Any other announcements? Then we'll do this thing that we do always, if you'll stand, please. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things hath done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arm hath blessed us on our way with countless and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near to us.
Ready? I'm counting.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices. This thing that hearts and lips it needs to cheer us, keep us in his grace and guide us when with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, for by water and the Holy Spirit you've made us a new people in Jesus Christ our Lord, to show forth your glory in all the world. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Alleluia, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Body of Christ, the bread of heaven, the blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Lord, peace to love and serve the Lord.